The first thing I really wanted to ask you, Ryan, is whenever you did hear the decision on Tuesday night of the city council, they voted 6-5 to decommission two fire engines. What was your immediate reaction whenever you heard about that?
It was one of shock, actually. And I think some of the counselors even were taken back by the fact that the motion was made to decommission or permanently closing two fire engines and laying off or eliminating 22 positions from the fire department. I think everybody was under the impression after the previous Tuesday night meeting when there were no reductions made that the Peoria Fire Department, you know, given the totality of the circumstances with the COVID pandemic, that every department was going to have to share in some type of reduction due to the financial stress placed on the city budget. But we were under the impression that it was going to be a single fire engine closure and a reduction of 11 firefighters, not double.
And with that, I did want to touch on that as well, that, you know, it's not just losing engines. There are jobs involved with that, right?
For the first time since the 1950s, the Peoria Fire Department and our organization, Firefighters Local 50, will actually face physical layoffs to employees currently working present day.
And then the arson, I think it was the arson fire earlier this week, you said, I saw the Facebook post that one of the engines that is going to be decommissioned was the first on scene with backup ways behind. Did I read that correctly?
That's an accurate statement, yes.
And can you expand on that and how response times will be affected with two less engines?
Sure. You know, just to give credit where credit is due, or truth in lending, basically, that fire came in as a City of Peoria address, and it's in the 5th District growth cell area off Route 91, where one side of the road could be Dunlap, one side of the road could be the City of Peoria, and that's kind of I wouldn't say uncommon thing, because there's unincorporated parts of the city close to the Heights, and then with Dunlap that are City of Peoria on one side and county fire departments on the other. But because of the information received by our 911 dispatch center, we were dispatched first, and as we had crews en route, they came back and said it's actually, you know, a couple blocks north of there. The neighbor called. The correct address is this. That's going to be Dunlap Fire Department, and our personnel advised the dispatcher to actually have Dunlap respond, because that's their, you know, we're not here to take fires from people, number one. We have plenty of our own right now in the city, and allocating resources to something like that. But the first engine there was engine 20. They reported a working structure fire. And then due to the area, that was identified in 2004 by the Matrix study, that particular area in the 5th District growth cell, was identified as an area that lacked appropriate or adequate fire protection. So the next closest engine company was coming from Frostwood Parkway or Northmore Road, and that is quite a travel when you talk about fire doubling in size every 60 to 90 seconds. Fortunately, and this is kind of the anomaly that people don't think, so when you start taking fire apparatus, engines, ladder trucks, and moving them around, or just permanently taking them out of the equation like this, that backup has to come from farther away. Now, here's where it gets dangerous, and this is why I, at this point, I'm tired of being accused of being a fearmonger and, you know, oh, people are going to die. No, I'm not saying that. Firefighters and citizen safety is going to be put at risk because of these longer response times. Because when you take that fire engine out, the next one, if it's in the firehouse, and that's a big if, we know by looking at the data we have through our dispatch information that every time there is one singular event, a medical call, a car accident, a dumpster fire, a car fire, an actual house fire, that 70% of the time there's also another incident actively going on in the City of Peoria requiring fire department assets or equipment. So when that piece leaves, your backup comes from farther away, and that's where the response times grow larger.
Yeah, and you mentioned there the adequate fire protection in that area, in the rating, I think you said. What type of criteria is looked for? Is it response time? Is it other things? Or is it just mainly how quick a fire engine can get to that location?
there's a lot of things that go in with the NFPA. You know, trying to make that response times is one. Water supply, having the adequate water supply or water ability to get water on the fire via fire hydrant, etc. Closest proximity to the next firehouse. The one thing that we look for is the effective response force, and that is getting the appropriate number for like a house fire. It's 15 firefighters. Getting 15 firefighters on the scene in a timely manner, and we can't effectively do that now. And it will get much worse as you take these engine companies out of service, because we don't foresee our workload changing. It's almost embarrassing to think that in 21 months, the Peoria Fire Department has lost 4 pieces of apparatus, 2 rescue squad companies, and now 2 fire engines, for a grand reduction in 21 months of 44 firefighter positions.
And just from your perspective, do you think there's a reason that, I guess, the fire department has suffered the highest amount in public safety? Why is the fire department the one to see these cuts?
Great question. I think that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Make no mistake about it, there's no coincidence when the Fitch and Associates study, which was the last study that was brought to town and paid for to evaluate the fire department. This is the third, as they've put in quotation marks, truly independent study to look at how fire department services are delivered in the city. No other department in the city of Peoria has undergone 3 quote-unquote independent studies that have made recommendations to reduce the size of the fire department. So if I think that there is an underlying, you know, theme here, absolutely. You know, when that study shows up in town and says, well, the city of Peoria could potentially look at reducing 6 firehouses and still safely provide some form of protection, whether that be an 8-minute response time or 10-minute response time, sure they could. I think anybody that has any inkling of how the fire department works knows that that's probably not a good idea, especially when fire doubles in size every 60 to 90 seconds. Most people can't hold their breath for 1 minute. And, you know, times matter. 60 seconds is a long time to hold your breath. So if you're not breathing, you want that fire truck and those firefighters there as soon as possible. So I would say that we've become a casualty of the war. If somebody thinks the fire department is, you know, overstaffed, or there's fat in the fire department, couldn't be more inaccurate. In the 80s, we were staffed roughly 30 more positions than what we will be after these cuts have gone through, and our call volume has gone up, doubled, if not tripled. So it's unfortunate that we, you know, as I told the Journal Star, we're playing a very bad game of Russian roulette. Instead of taking the bullets out of the gun, we're adding bullets. And you don't have to look any farther than the NFPA guidelines on recommendations for providing fire protection. Peoria doesn't meet NFPA guidelines for staffing. We staff fire engines, ladder trucks, and our previous rescue squads with 3 firefighters. NFPA recommends 4 on fire engines. We know the burden that places on the taxpayer. We've always done it with 3. But the reason these guidelines are set in place is because tragedies have happened, and it's resulted in civilian and firefighter deaths. So sooner or later, we are going to have to take a hard look in the mirror and say, we either A, need to figure out how to adequately provide fire protection, or B, face the consequences. And I get sick to my stomach, because we take an oath to serve and protect the property and citizens of Peoria as well as the visitors. I don't want to see a civilian, one of our citizens, a visitor, or one of our firefighters injured because of a result of, we just don't have enough money to provide fire protection, or police protection for that matter. One of the foundational models of the city of Peoria on the website is that they will provide basic core services, and we're struggling to do that.
Right. And something interesting that you touched on both there was the independent study that said that the fire department could withstand cuts, but you're not within NFPA guidelines?
NFPA guidelines,
of
yes.
How many you're supposed to have. So Can you talk about how those contradict each other, the NFPA guidelines versus this study that said that the department could withstand cuts?
Sure. The NFPA guidelines are not followed by every fire department. It's kind of like the SOG standard operation guideline of what should be. But every municipality that has a professional fire department tries to follow these to the best of their ability to do. But no guidelines or independent studies, nobody in their right mind, and if you go back and look at the Fitch study, they said, well, we're not recommending that you close anything, but if you had to, you could do away with two rescue squads, not in 21 months, four pieces of fire equipment. The sad reality is, yes, our jobs are already dangerous. We know that. That's why we take the oath to protect the safety and the property of the citizens. But why would you make a job that's already dangerous more dangerous when you know the outcomes are not going to be good? And it's almost coincidental that all three studies, with the exception of the Matrix study that pointed out that we could add additional resources, we've never once added an additional resource, no matter what the study has said. It's always been the exact opposite. So if we don't have any money and the shoe fits, we'll reduce the fire department. We've never had an independent study that's come in and said, well, here's where we need to get with the fire department. Here's how you improve the fire department. It's been, here's how you reduce the fire department. And you can't keep going because the wheels are going to fall off the wagon.
Right. And that's something I wanted to ask about as well, was moving forward, what does this mean for the fire department? Obviously, you're all going to do the best job you can because, like you said, you took the oath to protect the people. And I know that as a firefighter, you have to care about people. What for the fire department moving forward, what does it look like?
You couldn't have said it better. Yes, we take the oath, but we care. We are problem solvers. When somebody dials 911 and it's not an urgent matter, or it's not a police matter, or it's something that is completely off, the complete sense of normalcy, usually they send the fire department because we are problem solvers. But that sense of hopelessness that has, taken over the Peoria Fire Department right now because we've lost or faced a 25% reduction in 21 months in personnel, you know that sooner or later the odds aren't in your favor, but we will still continue to do the best we can because of the oath we took. Do I hope there's somebody's moral conscience or somebody reconsiders and says, hey, look at all the other comparable cities the size of Peoria. Where do we stand in comparison to them, or what are they doing, or how do we fix this? How do you continually end up coming back to the fire department saying reduce, 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 reduce? It just doesn't work.
What do fire departments in other comparable cities look like? Do you know?
If you look at the closest one, and that's Springfield, they cover roughly 10 to 15 square miles than us. They're very similar in how they operate. They have, after these reductions, they're going to be authorized at about 213. When these reductions go through, I believe we'll be at 156. So they're going to have 40 more on the conservative side firefighters to actually go put out firefighters and respond to emergency medical calls. We can say, all we want about COVID, and when COVID doesn't work, we go straight to the pension argument. Well, the pensions didn't cause COVID, and COVID didn't cause the pensions. Peoria's had a problem financially for some time, but to blame the pensions on why we're here is almost a slap in the face to the people, whether they're police, fire, public works, that work here, because we've known about the pensions. You can't just continually kick the can down the road and expect things to be okay. But again, it's if the shoe fits, wear it. If COVID financially doesn't gain the votes to get fire department resources reduced, we go, well, the true problem is the pension, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. One didn't cause the other.
Will you expand further on pensions and basically why the city is saying it is such a financial burden that needs to be cut, basically?
The problem surrounding the pensions is the 2040 date to have them funded at 90%. And when cities, other municipalities, the fire department, pension board, are allowed to have different actuaries, meaning everybody has a different funding level that they can go. And for years, municipalities across the state of Illinois, and this isn't just Peoria, have been allowed to pick the lowest actuary. I guess the easiest way to explain this is if you have a $1,000 balance on your credit card and your minimum monthly payment is 87, and you say, I can't afford 87, but I only put 50 in, you will never pay the interest or the debt on the credit card off. And that's the problem that's really created. And that's why, you know, it's not hard. Everybody was given the same roadmap to get from St. Louis to Chicago when it comes to the pensions. Some people are headed, you know, up to Chicago and they're around Joliet. They're going to make the 2040 date. They're 80% funded, like Champaign, Illinois. You know, Peoria is not as bad as it's made out to be. We're at 50%. Could it be better? Absolutely, it could. Other municipalities are in the 30s, 20s, 10s. It's been a long process, but everybody has known that by this date, you know, you can't just put IOUs in there. Now, the argument will be, well, public safety pensions, police and fire pensions are different than IMRF, and they absolutely are, and here's the reason. In 1965, when the elected officials, such as the manager or the mayor, they're entitled to an IMRF pension. Since inception, since 65, those retirement security systems have been drawn up, basically, or were given the ability to make sure that the dollar is collected every year. Police and fire pensions haven't had the enforcement language to make sure the proper dollar amounts were put in until 10 or 12 years ago, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But since inception, one of the retirement security systems, and it's the gold standard in Illinois, is funded appropriately because the enforcement language to collect those funds has always been there.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that, because I know that's important for people to understand that part of it as well. And something we've kind of talked about but haven't really directly talked about is Peoria firefighters, as well as firefighters across the country, don't just go fight fires. And you mentioned it earlier with you may have engines out doing different things like responding to a vehicle accident, responding to other various problems throughout the city. And when each of those are out, your response time is affected, right?
Correct.
So by cutting two engines, not just one, your response time, the more engines are sent out, and you said calls are going up as well?
Yes, they have been. So in the late 80s, early 90s, to where we are now, our call volume has doubled, if not tripled. And every year since we started making reductions to the fire department in 2016, our call volume has continually gone up. The only thing that's gone down is the staffing levels for the Peoria Fire Department. In the late 80s, we had 214 or thereabouts actual firefighters. When the reductions go through, we'll be in the 150s. Our fires from the late 80s to present day have stayed the same. Our ability to mitigate those emergencies, i.e. our manpower or the number of resources with fire engines or ladder trucks, has gone down. It is a recipe for disaster.
Right. Is there anything you want to add that I haven't asked you about, Ryan?
No, I appreciate your time. We've told every media outlet, you know, we appreciate because we know the importance of these issues. And we appreciate the support from our community, the citizens' input in voicing their opinion when it comes to cutting their public safety. Nobody wants to be the one, you know, if it's just one life, you know, you can't put a price tag on that. And those are the risks we're willing to take. But when you can prevent it or do the best you can to prevent it, and you start funding your basic core common services first, police, fire, public works, in any order, it doesn't matter. Those are the foundational principle or, you know, the foundation of government is being able to provide those three core services. After that, everything else should fall in line. Because at the end of the day, that is why we're here.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time today, Ryan. And I think it's worth noting as well that the city council still has the ability to make a motion to reconsider at the next board meeting, if they so choose to do so. So thank you very much for your time, Ryan, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Dalton, and have a good Labor Day. Thanks for asking good questions, and you know, hopefully Tuesday night we'll have more discussion, and hopefully we're not looking at two fire engines being decommissioned and firefighters being laid off. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a bunch, Ryan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.